Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. There's a phrase that I believe that all of us, no matter what age we're at, no matter our backgrounds, we can relate to this phrase. It's three little words that we probably have heard our whole lives and probably also spoken our whole lives, and especially if you're a parent. And those words are, that phrase is simply, I need help. I need help. Whether it's, I know I've been trying to get my, teaching my kids how to, we got four boys, teach them how to ride a bike. And they don't want to give up those training wheels. And oftentimes when they're kind of getting their self steady, they're saying, I need help. Can you help me this morning? What are they saying? I need help. Now all together, here we go. I need help. Whether they're on the bike, whether they're on the basketball court trying to figure out how to take that shot or kick that soccer goal, whatever it may be. I have not got to the point of where I'm teaching them how to drive, but I'm assuming, I would hope that when my kids get to driving age, they are not just so overly confident that they don't ask for help, but that they say, hey, I need help, Dad. If you've had any kids, you understand that when they're potty training, what can you hear from any corner of the house is, I need help from that bathroom, and they're waiting for you to come and help them out. I need help. It's not just for kids, maybe it's you. Maybe at work, there are times, obviously, when you're like, man, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. I need some help. Go to your boss, go to a coworker. At church, going to a brother or sister in Christ. Hey, I need some help. I need some prayer. I need some this. I would hope that within friendships, we are not prideful enough to not ask for help. But I hope that within our friendships, we are reaching out to one another. That's what the body of Christ is for, by the way. We support each other. Number one, we lean on God. Yes. But God has given us each other to lean on one another. So I hope that within our friendships, you are oftentimes, when it's needed, sending a text message, making a phone call, saying, hey, I need some help right now. I'm struggling right now. That's the kind of culture we want to create here at Coastal. I hope you know that. Our small groups that we have, our ladies, which I heard was amazing on Friday night. And if you were not there, I'd encourage you to try to make it to the next one. And our men's this Friday night, 7 o'clock, men be here. It's a time when we get together. And really, at the root of it all, we're just looking at each other and say, hey, you know, we all need help. We're not perfect. We're all messes and we need each other. We need the Lord. I need help. Psalm 23 is a passage of scripture that most people know, whether they go to church or not. This is quoted and read at funerals every day of the year from now and probably till eternity. Whether it's a church-going person or not, this psalm is a very well-known psalm. And I'm going to read it to you. I won't have these scriptures on the screen as of yet. You know, I will actually. The message today, and you know the scripture, the Lord is my shepherd. We're talking today about that word shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. And the name of God is Jehovah Rohi. God our shepherd. Jehovah Rohi is the name of God we're going to look at today. And in Psalm 23, it says this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David uses this name, Jehovah Rohi, for God in Psalm 23. God our shepherd. David was a shepherd. If you know anything about the Old Testament, the life of David, yes, he was a king. But before he was a king, he was a shepherd boy who defeated Goliath. He knew what it was like to be a shepherd. He knew how to protect and provide as a shepherd, which I believe is why he called God by this name, Jehovah Rohi, in the Hebrew passage, and is translated, the Lord is my shepherd, in Psalm 23 in the English language, because he understood it. David's writing here teaches us so much about this name of God. And to sum it all up, we're going to break it down, but to sum it all up, here is the main thought and the main heart of the message today, and it's simply this. If Jesus is your shepherd, you have everything you need. I want to say that again for the people in the back. If Jesus is your shepherd, you have everything that you need. You have everything that you need. He satisfies. It kind of goes right along with Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, the God who is enough. Jehovah Rohi, God our shepherd. If you have Jesus as your shepherd, you have everything you need. And he satisfies each and every need. He satisfies our essential needs, our essential needs. Verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't need anything. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And notice at the beginning of that verse, the Lord is, that little two-letter verb, the Lord is my shepherd, is, not was, not at one time was, no, the Lord is my shepherd. He is not just the God of our past, and thank God he's the God of our past. I thank God that I can look back at times in my life when I went through trials and tribulations or sin struggles and how God was with me every step of the way. I'm grateful that he is the God of my past. I'm grateful that he walked me through those times, but praise God and hallelujah that he's not just the God of the past, but he is the God in the present. He is the God of right now. The scriptures say he's a God who is not far off. He is a God who is near. I'm glad, yes, that I can look back on times when I was without hope and without faith and struggling and in the darkness, and God was with me, and hallelujah for those times. And I hope in your heart you can look back and praise him for being the God of the past, but may we remember that he's not just the God of the past. The Lord is my shepherd. He is right now. I'm glad not that I can just look back that he was my God then, but I can not just look back, but I can look around right now. Not just looking back, but looking around right now in the present, and he is with me. And he is with you right now in your story, on your journey, wherever you're at, he is with you. The Lord is my shepherd. He meets our essential needs. David also refers to him as my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. David knew God personally. And because of that, he had all that he needed. Listen, the question this morning for us, church family, is how is your walk with God? How is your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? How is your personal relationship with God today? How this past week, how much time were you able to spend in the Word of God meeting with the Savior? How much time were you able to spend talking to God and sharing your needs and praising his name and thanking him for his goodness? How is your walk with God? Because he is and wants to be a personal Savior. It's not just a community Jesus where we all gather together and sing praises and it's just this group effort. No. God is a personal God. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He wants to know you personally. He wants to spend time with you personally. The verse finishes, I shall not want. I have everything I need. And that verse does not mean that we get anything that we want. The Lord is my shepherd, so I can have whatever I want. No, that's not what it's saying there. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, means not that we get anything we want, but that the Lord is everything we need and more. That's the abundant life found in Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You may be thinking this morning, or maybe this message will be posted online this week, and maybe you're listening online, and you're thinking, and your heart is saying, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it. Maybe that's you this morning. You know what David said? David, who knew God personally, he said in Psalm 37, he said, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. David said, David could testify and say, listen, I was young, and as a young boy, I defeated Goliath by the power of God. And now I'm old, and I'm the king, and David wasn't perfect. We know David was, unfortunately, a murderer and an adulterer, made a lot of mistakes, but God showed him grace. David said, I was young once, but now I'm old, and guess what? Even through all my mess, I have never seen the righteous forsaken. God has never let me down. God will never let you down. He is everything we need and more. So you may be saying, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Let me remind you by the truth of Scripture, by the life that I have been privileged to live, by the grace of God, that He will never let you down. He is always enough. He will always be there. Green grass, it says in the second verse of Psalm 23, He makes me lie down in green pastures. Green grass is not just something to graze upon for sheep. It's something to rest upon. Something to rest upon. It's a place of rest. God provides our essential needs, but one of our essential needs, not just the things that we need to survive, but rest, a place of rest. He leads me beside green pastures and beside still waters. Still waters are what sheep need. And we're the sheep in this story, by the way. Remember that. The Lord's my shepherd. We're the sheep. We're the sheep. Sheep don't like rough waters because if their wool gets wet, guess what? They'll drown a lot easier. And it's God who leads you and me besides those still and calm waters. He leads us there. You may be right now in a season of absolute craziness, in a storm, in a season that you just don't understand. Listen, I know that I feel like we're in that season right now as a family, not anything bad, but just busyness and craziness and feeling like you don't have enough time, feeling stretched very thin oftentimes. But listen, He leads beside still waters. We must wait on the Lord and follow Him because He is leading us to still waters. David continues in verse 3, He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Restore means to bring back the soul. Listen, we need to be recharged. We need to be cleaned up and put back together. That's the business that God is in, is putting back together, restoring. He's about restoration, which is why, church, it's important to have a personal walk with God, number one, yes, but it's important to be in the house of God at small groups whenever you have a chance to meet with God's people, to be recharged and to be put back together, and to sing the songs of God as a church and be encouraged by one another. Be in the house of God. Be here. It's important, church. We're commanded to. Listen, He restores my soul, and He uses His word, and He uses prayer, and I believe He uses the house of God to restore us. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. God will lead us and guide us in what is right in those paths of righteousness. And I said this earlier, never be afraid to trust a future you don't know to a God you do know. We don't understand the future oftentimes. We're afraid of it. I know I can be sometimes. Raising a son with special needs, every year that goes by, we rejoice in the victories, and there's times if I'm not careful, I begin to worry about the future. Every year he gets older and older and stronger and grows in many ways. And if I'm not careful, I will stress and worry and be concerned about the future. But I don't want to be afraid to trust a future I don't know to a God I do know. God holds tomorrow. There's an old hymn. I know who holds tomorrow, and I know He holds my hand. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know that He holds my hand. We need to trust Him. Listen, it's better to ask God to direct your path than to correct your mistake. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct my paths. I'd rather ask God, Lord, lead me and guide me, than me go off, do my own thing, try to figure it out, mess up, and say, all right, I got to clean up. Lord, help me clean this mess up. It is better to ask God to direct your path than to correct your mistake. God guides us in paths of grace that lead to glory. God guides us in paths of grace that lead to glory. So follow Him. Follow Him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He brings me by green pastures. He satisfies our essential needs. What else? So our emotional needs. Not only does He meet our essential needs, but He also meets our emotional needs. Verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What do we do when we feel trapped, lonely, hopeless, unsure of which way to go? What are we supposed to do? Can I say this? We need to just keep on walking. Keep on moving forward. He is with you. Don't run from the problems. Don't quit, but keep on going. You may be going through things, and I can say this. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's people in this room that are going through things that just don't make sense. They just don't make sense. God, why is this happening to me? I don't get it. We are going through things that do not make sense. I have been there. But remember, church, remember, valleys, those difficult times, those trials, those tribulations, valleys have an entrance and they have an exit. Okay, valleys have an entrance and they have an exit. Why would a shepherd lead his sheep into a valley filled with danger? He's my shepherd. Why would he lead me to a valley where there is danger? To get to some better place. Sometimes God must lead you through the valley to get you where you need to be. Believe that this morning, church. Hear that truth and write it in your heart. Sometimes God must lead you through the valley to get you where you need to be. Don't mistake the process for the purpose. Don't mistake the process, the journey, for the purpose, what God is trying to do in you. Sometimes God must lead you through the valley to get you where you need to be. The process, the journey is temporary, but the purpose is eternal. You cannot hurry up the process. Wouldn't it be great if we could just get through that journey, that valley? No, but He's doing something in us. The only way out is through it. The only way out is through. And Paul said in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If He brought you to it, He will bring you through it. If He brought you to it, He will bring you through it. Shadows can't hurt you. Shadows can't hurt you. Those dark times, they can be scary. There can be difficult times. Shadows can't hurt you. They can be scary, but where there is a shadow, there has to be light. Maybe you're in that zone right now, that valley. Let Him lead you to a better place. Oh, the sun's coming up. There's joy on the horizon. It'll all be worth it. Sometimes He has to lead us. Not, I feel like all the, if we want to grow, if you want to pray a prayer that you know God's going to answer, say, Lord, I want you to change me. Work in my life. Help me to grow. And I promise you, more than likely, you'll go through a valley of sorts. And you may be like, I thought I asked you to help me grow. And He's like, I am helping you grow. I am helping you grow. And guess what? Through this dark valley, I am leading you as your shepherd. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. With God's presence comes His power, His rod for protection, His staff for correction. We need both. We need protection and correction. God gets our attention. A sheep starts wandering off, and the staff kind of guides them back into place. He is with you every step of the way. Verse 5, David says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Listen, He has made room for me to lie down by those green pastures, and also to sit at his table for me to eat. God is a great host, church. He's a great host. He can put on a spread, a banquet like nobody else, and he's invited you and me to eat with him. And what happens at the table? I love family dinners. We have family dinners every Sunday night. When we were in Michigan, away from family, we'd have some of our best times, and I hated getting rid of it. I had a big, giant brown dining room table that we had. I don't even remember where we bought it from. Some cheap furniture store in Michigan. We had it forever. And we had such good times around that table. Conversations and laughter, tears, counseling sessions. That when I moved to back here to New England, I said, I gotta take this with me. And I wanted so badly to take it out to the Cape, and it was falling apart. It had gotten a lot of use. But those tables, that table meant a lot to me. What happens around a family table? There's prayer, there's nourishment, there's conversation, there's storytelling, laughter, encouragement, fellowship, connection, and you can have a place at God's table where God meets with you and he fills you up and he encourages your soul and he speaks directly to you. Listen, you can have a place at God's table. What happens here? He says, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. Oh, the blessings that he pours upon each and every one of us are overabundant. Are overabundant. As a shepherd, if you study out the life of a shepherd and of a sheep, especially in the Middle East, insects drive sheep crazy, buzzing around. If you go to any kind of farm anywhere and you see cows, and the bugs are just, they won't leave them alone. And it drives sheep crazy. If those, they call them nose flies, if they get near the head of a sheep, those sheep will beat their head against the ground. They won't eat. They can really hurt themselves. So what does the shepherd do? He anoints the sheep's head with oil, which drives the flies away. And maybe you feel often like you are beating your head against the wall. And it's just someone or something is driving you absolutely crazy. And you're like, I can't do it anymore. I'm so done with this. And he anoints our head with oil. Maybe we've even lost our appetite. I don't want nothing. I don't need anybody. I don't want anybody. Leave me alone. And God comes as that shepherd, Jehovah Rohi, and pours that oil over our head. Listen, we've got to stop letting people get into our head. We got to stop carrying other people's baggage with us. We can't get very far with that. We have got to stop letting the baggage of other people weigh us down and control us. God won't let the irritations of life drive us crazy if we just rest in him as our shepherd. We have to rely on him. We have to let him anoint that head with oil. He will be with us. He will bring healing to us. And David said not only was his cup full, but that it was running over. There was an overflow of blessing. In church, I can testify to the fact that the blessings of God, they don't just fill me up, but they are so often overabundant and overflowing. And if I can just rest in those promises, if I can just rely on those times and look at what God has done and what he's doing in my life, I won't just live with a half-empty cup or even a full cup. No, just like that saucer fills up with the overflow, I live in that overflow. I can live in those blessings and trust God that he will always come through, that he has always come through. His blessings are full and they are overflowing. So church, I encourage you, go to the shepherd and fill up. He will bless you. He meets our essential needs. He meets our emotional needs and he meets our eternal needs. David finishes in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's why we sang that song, Goodness of God. It's taken right from this passage. Your goodness is running after me. It's running after me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We are satisfied in life. We are satisfied in death. And we're satisfied in our eternity. He satisfies in all those phases. Right there in the scriptures. Follow me all the days of my life. That's our life. And when life is over, he's there. In our eternity, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He meets those eternal needs. And that word surely is not a question mark, but an exclamation point. Surely, most definitely, without a doubt, goodness and mercy will follow me And follow means pursue. It will chase me down. You cannot get away from the goodness of God. There is goodness for the times we do right, and there is mercy for the times we do wrong. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Some of us can give testimony that we went astray. I can testify to that. We went astray. We went away from God. But God, in his loving kindness and his mercy and his goodness, sent goodness and mercy to track us down, to find us like a hound dog, to find us and bring us back to his side. When we were lost and undone and had run from God, he reached down his hand for me and lifted me up out of that pit and set my feet on a solid rock. And some of us can testify to that truth this morning. He knows his sheep, that's us, by name. He knows your address. He's got your number. He is with you, church, and he loves you. God will not let you go. God will not let you go. He will never stop loving you. We feel unloved. Many of us sit here and we feel unloved. We're very insecure. I struggle with insecurity. It's probably my biggest struggle, and God has given such grace in it. But oftentimes we feel less than, we feel not enough. We feel unloved. We feel unworthy. We feel not good enough. And God says, no, no, no. Chill. It's all right. I love you. I love you. Remember I said I loved you and I never stop. I won't let you go. David's cup was running over, and he found out that it was sweeter at the bottom of the cup. Follow me all the days of my life. He was looking forward to dwelling in the house of God forever and ever. And the world says that all good things must come to an end. And that's just not true. Because God's goodness and mercy does not end. It gets better and better and better and better. We didn't sing this verse of the song, but we sang Amazing Grace. What's another verse? When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days, woo, to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Church, don't you want to be part of something bigger than you that will outlast your life on earth? Don't you want to be a part of something bigger than you? Jehovah Rohi, resting in him as your shepherd, letting him guide you instead of making your own, charting your own path. Jehovah Rohi is all about Jesus. Sure, in this passage in Psalm, Jesus hadn't been born yet. We were a while off from the Messiah coming in the Old Testament here. But Jehovah Rohi is about Jesus. Matthew 2:6 says, "In you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." In Matthew 9, Jesus, the Messiah, saw the crowds, and it says that he was moved with compassion while he looked at them. His heart moved. And if you look at that passage and study out, that word moved literally means a physical pain in his stomach as he looked at the people, because he said they were like a sheep without a shepherd. Matthew 25:32 talks about the end of time when all the nations will be gathered together before him. Matthew 25:32. And he will separate them one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. In John 10:11, Jesus said this. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And that's what Christ did for you. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. Went after the one that went away, left the 99 to go find the one sheep, and you were that one sheep that he went after. So who's your shepherd? Who is your shepherd? Who are you following? Who's guiding you? Who are you letting guide you? Listen, there's many resources, but there's only one source, only one shepherd, and in Christ. In Christ, we find all that we need. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.